Matthew chapter 22. And I wanted to touch on the subject of God working in us, of God working in us in light of doing His will. And we've been looking at God's will a lot lately, and it's something that God wants us to do, and we have the privilege of being able to know it by His word and to be able to do it if we choose, which is always a good decision. And we went over a couple weeks ago showing that Jesus Christ always did God's will. And this is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's praying to God, and in verse 42, I'm in the wrong chapter. I think I'm in the wrong chapter. Why is it not 22:42? There isn't. Well, anyway, I wrote it wrong. But it's where Jesus Christ says, "Not my will be done, but thine." And Jesus Christ was showing that He had a separate will than God's, but He wanted to do what God's will was concerning the situation of going forward with the plan of redemption. And He learned what God's will was by way of His word, studying His word, and then decided to live accordingly. And we went over, we do God's word when we choose to do God's word. So, well, we're going to move to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. He chose to do God's word, to do God's will, as opposed to other choices. And we went over the choices a couple weeks ago that it's something, it doesn't happen automatically to do God's will. It's when we choose to do so. Since Adam's fall in the Garden of Eden, mankind has had a sin nature, and we are all born with that sin nature, and that sin nature is contrary to God and His Word. It repudiates God and His Word, and we were all in the same boat, so to speak. And in chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 1, it says, "And you, hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience." We all were in that same spot where we walked according to, we did the things that which the world has designed and put together. Verse 3, "among whom also most of us had our conversation." Now, if you were a very good person growing up before you got born again, you were still involved with the course of this world. It just didn't seem like you weren't. "Among whom we all had our conversation." Conversation could be translated as a manner of living or lifestyle. "In times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." So we were all born with this sin nature, and we all did what came naturally to us. Like, some people are naturally good at music. Like Danny is a musician. Or was. I don't know if you still are. But it comes naturally. It didn't come naturally to me. I tried playing the guitar when I was in high school. When I realized I couldn't play it, I moved on. Nothing came naturally on. But for us, before we got born again, what was natural to us is to sin. It's, you know, sin nature. It just comes naturally. But when we got born again of God's Spirit, we received the gift of Holy Spirit. Part of that gift is God's divine nature is in it. And so we have two natures. Anybody that's born again, the old man nature and the new nature, which is a divine nature. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. So we have two natures now. 2 Peter chapter 1. And in verse 4, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these might be ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We are partakers of that divine nature. It's a nature that was received from God when we got born again, when we confessed Jesus as the Lord, believed God raised him from the dead. We got born again, and part of that new birth, its nature, its very nature, is holy. It's of God. It's divine. It's not a sin nature. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Incredible learning concerning the two natures of man. We got the sin nature by way of the fall of Adam in the garden. We got the divine nature by way of the works of Jesus Christ, the obedience of Jesus Christ. And the war that wages between living the old man nature, the sin nature, and living the divine nature. And it's just great stuff. We're going to start in verse 12 and just read about 10 verses. It says, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin. The yield ye indicates a free choice. You know, it's something that we choose to do or not do. Neither yield ye your members as the instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin hath not dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but that you have obeyed from the, you were servants of sin, but that you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of their flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. That's quite a way of putting it. when you're free from righteousness, or when you're a servant of sin, you're free from that righteousness. You know, you don't have that righteousness. Verse 21, for what fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end and the everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We still have an old man nature, a sin nature, but it's been, because of the accomplished works of Jesus Christ, it's been rendered ineffective as we choose to walk in the new nature. We no longer have to be held hostage to an old man nature. Our divine nature supersedes it. It trumps that which is the sin nature as we choose to live God's word, as we renew our minds to the truth of God's word. It doesn't happen automatically. Like when we were just sin nature, that's the only nature we had, it was an automatic. It was, we just did it naturally. When we get born again, we didn't lose the old man nature. It can be ineffective if we walk the word, but it's still there, which explains why one minute you can do something that's absolutely godly, wonderful, loving, and 3 minutes later you look like the devil himself. How could that be? How could, you know, sometimes Christians wonder, how could, if you're a Christian, how come you would do something like that? Well, the thing is we still have an old man nature. We still have a sin nature, which does not serve us well. And we have a new nature, the divine nature, which serves us wonderfully. As those words in Romans 6, talking about being going all the way to holiness, you know, where our life is a holy life, a blessing to God and to ourselves and others. Or we can live unto iniquity, sin unto iniquity. We have both available to us. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. So we have the old man nature that can be rendered ineffective as we renew our minds to God's word, and we have the divine nature. So in light of doing God's will, which we want to do, the incredible thing is not only do we have a divine nature which allows us to do it, to really walk for God and to do his will, but we have the creator of the heavens and earth, our Heavenly Father, God Almighty, the God of love and comfort, helping us to be able to do that, to help us to do his word, to do his will. And there's this verse that very, you know, we've known for many years, could probably quote it backwards. And we've heard it, and it just gets bigger and bigger as we continue to grow in it. But it's just a tremendous verse of scripture. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." It's God that's at work in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. On top of having that divine nature, we have God Almighty endeavoring to help us to come along and walk with him and to do his will. Jesus Christ had God helping him. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, three times he prayed, saying, you know, if there's any other way of accomplishing this cup, taking this cup and doing it in a different way, I want to know about it. And three times he got the answer. And so he said, okay, I'm going to do your will. And it says that God sent an angel and strengthened him. He was helping him to get through that time. You know, that's our Heavenly Father. He's at work within us to will and to do of his good with that before we got born again. We had God around us. We had God trying to get us to get born again. We had God protecting us, but he was not able to work in us until we got born again. Really interesting. The word worketh, it says, for it is God which worketh in you, is a word, Greek word energeo, and it means to energize or to work. It's also translated in the same verse as to do. So it is God that works or energizes in you both the will and to energize, or to do, you know, to work, to bring it to pass of his good pleasure. And the word will is, it's a, in the sense of a, I would sometimes in our culture say to wish, you know, I wish this would happen, this, I will it, I desire it. And we're going to come back to this verse, but we're just going to look at a few verses in Matthew that use this word will. It's called thaleo. Just to get a sense of it. It's a desire. It's not something that's forced on us and that we have to do it no matter what. It's a desire. Chapter 1 and verse 19. We'll just see how this word is used in a number of verses. It says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing, that's the word right there, not willing or not desiring to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Chapter 5 and verse 40. Another use. It says, if any man will sue thee at the law, the lawyers were suing people back then, I think that's increased a little bit, though. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. You know, if somebody's desiring or wanting to sue you, there you have it. Verse 42. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, and turn down not away. That's not the one. Let's go to chapter 7, verse 12. These are just show how that same word is used so many times in the sense of desiring. Verse 12, therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, do you even so to them whatsoever you would. The would is that same word for will. Chapter 8, verse 2. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou will, thou can't make me clean. If you want to, you have the ability. And in verse 3, and Jesus got put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. I want to. Be thou clean. You know, it just shows the desire involved. And let's go lastly to chapter 15. There's a desire involved with that will, a wanting. Chapter 15, verse 28. It says, and Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, or believing. Be it unto thee even as thou will, as you desire. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You know, what the desire was, it came to pass for her. And in verse 32, then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days, and I have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. I will not, or I don't want to, I don't choose to, I don't desire to. See the essence of it. So going back to Philippians chapter 2, I didn't keep my finger there. chapter 2, and in verse 13, where it says, for it is God which worketh or energizes in you both to will the things that to desire and to do of his good pleasure. He's working in us to have a desire and to be able to do his good pleasure. So on top of having a divine nature that is holy, we have our Heavenly Father, who is the creator of heavens and earth, who is all compassion, all comfort, all love, all goodness, working, energizing to help us to want to do his will and to actually do it. That's amazing. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Not only to a point of getting us born again, helping us to become born again, but until the day of Jesus Christ. Until Jesus, he is at work within us to will to do a good pleasure. That's amazing. So, you know, when we're living our lives, working, raising a family, if we have a family, being married, if we're married, you know, developing and working in that marriage relationship, helping people, being a citizen in the United States or any country or a person in a community, just the things that we do on a day-to-day basis. Our loving of God, our loving of God's people, our growing of His Word in our hearts, speaking God's Word, our prayer life, our ministering of the Word of God and of grace and His healing and all the greatness of Him and the many things that are involved with life. While all that's going on, we have the heavens, the creator of the heavens, the earth, God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, working, trying to get us to desire and to do His word. I mean, that's amazing. It's not like we got born again and we're on our own, and maybe there's some other people around us that are trying to help us to do what God's word. But we have God Almighty involved in our lives. So that's a game changer in the sense that he is just right with us, endeavoring to help us to walk His word. He's our Heavenly Father. John Sloan, I don't think he's on here today, but he did a teaching in our fellowship, number 40, on God working in us. And he taught it, and it was just a great teaching, in light of God as our Father. And in Ephesians 6, God commands earthly fathers to raise their children in nurture and admonition of the Lord, to not provoke them to anger. So if he requires that out of his, you know, Christians that are fathers of kids, certainly he would do the same thing. And he just showed how God worked with his people to where they are, not to provoke them to anger, but just very tenderly, great compassion, with great wisdom, and helping his kids to grow in his word. You know, it's just wonderful. And back to Philippians 2:13, where it's the will to do of his good pleasure. His good pleasure. His satisfaction. His benevolence. So, it's just a terrific thing. Let's go to chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He works within us the will of his, to do of his will. And, you know, as we know, we learn what God's will is by way of the Word of God. And here's what some of that doing His will looks like. This chapter 13 deals with the love of God. And there are things that it shows what the love of God is and what the love of God is not. And as we're living life, this stuff comes up, and guess which direction God would kind of try to direct us to as these things come up. So verse 4, it says charity, which is referring to the love of God, suffers long or is patient. You know, so maybe there are times where our patience is, we're just not as patient as we need to be. Can God actually work in our lives to help us to be patient? Susan said to me, she was spending some time with an individual once, and God showed her, as she's talking to her, the person, God showed her a picture of a believer that she knows that is extremely patient. It's just a long suitors, and she saw her face as she, and because she was getting to a point of being, you know, running out of patience, and God just showed her that face, and that helped her to just continue to be patient. You know, if God wasn't around to help us, that picture would not have been there. But He helps us. It says is kind. So maybe when we're not wanting to be kind, or it's difficult for us to be kind, can God Almighty help us in a situation to be kind? Certainly. It envieth not. You know, the world's always trying us to be envious of other people's things and characteristics. You know, we heard the old saying, the grass is greener on the other side. I figured out how come that is scientifically. When you look at a horizontal level, like from across the street, you're only seeing the vertical parts of the grass blades. And so, it looks like a wall of green. But once you walk over to that yard and you're looking down onto it, it's like a man's balding head. All of a sudden, you see all the spaces in between, you know? But from the side, it looks greener. It does. It's not a mirage. It's a reality. You're looking at the wrong angle. So, you know, the world endeavors us to get us to envy other people's things. Well, if I could just have that, I'd be happy or whatever. You know, the love of God doesn't work that way. So can God help us to get through that? Sure. It vaunteth not itself. You know, it's not a braggart. It's not puffed up. It's not puffed up with pride. If we have a difficulty because of our old man ways of having pride, can he help us with that? Sure he can. Doth not behave itself unseemly or dishonorably. We may get tempted to do something that's dishonorable. Can God work in our lives at that point to help us to get through that spot? Sure. Seek it. Not our own is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, which the word thinketh means to logistically consider. It's not like you never have an evil thought. It's that you don't take those evil thoughts and start to plan them and logistically figure out and go for it. Rejoices not in iniquity, but it rejoices in truth. You know, we don't rejoice even if the person is an enemy to us, so to speak, and they fall into bad times. We should rejoice in that. They could be one of God's kids that just aren't doing so well. Not to enjoy rejoice in iniquity. It beareth all things, it believeth all things, it hopeth all things. And these things are part of the love of God, and so God, that's part of God's will. So can God help us to live that way? Sure. Let's go to John chapter 3. Gospel of John chapter 3. So we have God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, who's at work within us to will and to do of His good pleasure, helping us to do His word, to do His will. And He does it by way of shedding light on our lives, or to our lives, by way of a lot of ways. One, you know, if we read God's word, He could show us something. If we hear God's word, He can work within us. I know sometimes I'll teach on something in fellowship, and somebody will come up to me and say, "Boy, that was a great teacher on such and such," and I didn't even go over that subject. And I'm thinking, all right, whatever's going on in that person's heart, God's showing them stuff, even though the teaching not really related to that. That's what God showed them. And, you know, God's working with the light of His word to shed on our hearts. And if we go to that light and stay in that light, it really blesses us. If we don't, it's not so wonderful. But here is a little thing concerning light. John chapter 3, we're going to pick it up, verse 19. It says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." They were so used to evil that they didn't like the light. Like Sodom and Gomorrah, when the word of God was spoken to Sodom and Gomorrah, they didn't like it. When the word of God was spoken to Nineveh, when Jonah brought the word of God to, which was a reproof to Nineveh, they all repented. They had gotten their sackcloth and ashes and repented and changed their mind. One person, one group turned it down. The other group received it. Verse 20, "And everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or made known. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought or worked in God." So as God brings His word, which is light, to our minds, as He helps us, we can choose to like push that light away, or we can say, "Okay, I don't like what I'm seeing, but I know it's what God wants me to do." And God's constantly coming to, you know, He's up alongside of us, as it says, you know, and He is feeding us His word, and we're always at a crossroad. Do we want to take what He's given us and utilize it, or do we want to shun it? Those who love truth grow in that light, and those who like evil things get away from it. That's just a little bit. As an example of that, let's go to Acts. We're going to end here. Acts chapter 8, familiar verse of scripture about the word was word of God was spoken by Philip to a city called Samaria, and there was a man there named Simon who was a sorcerer. He used sorceries and bewitched people, and he had a great control over people's lives. But the control was by way of devilish things, devil spirits, darkness of teaching and doctrine, and he had quite a grip on their lives. And we're going to pick it up in verse 9. It says, but there was a certain man named Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because out of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So they were under this influence of Simon's teachings and sorcery using, etc. And then they heard Philip teach the word of God, and they believed that. They changed their lives, and they dropped what they were under the influence with on Simon. Verse 13, and this is a great scripture. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. And when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive into manifestation the Holy Spirit. For as yet it was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were born again, but they hadn't been able to manifest that Spirit of God yet. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit into manifestation. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. So he's doing what he understands. Hey, I want this. I got money. I'm willing to pay for it. You know, here it is. Saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. So he's desirous of some things that are godly, but he doesn't know how God works yet. He doesn't know how you get it. He just sees it in manifestation, this power of God, and he wants it. And he happens to have enough money to say, hey, I'll give you this money for that. I'll buy it. I'm in. But he doesn't have the understanding yet in his life of how God works. Verse 20, but Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. It's just referring to his perish with thee. When he dies, money perishes, and so do our bodies eventually, if the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't come back first. So it said, you know, you thought you could buy this stuff? Verse 21, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps could be translated as that the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me. So the word of God doesn't make any mention that I'm aware of Simon after this point. So we don't know what happened in his life, but what we do know is that he heard the preaching of Jesus Christ, preaching of Philip concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He believed what God's word said concerning it. He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He got born again. He saw the apostles ministering the word, and where they ministered to where they could speak in tongues and manifest the gift of the Holy Spirit. He liked that. He was wanting to go that direction. He saw that was power. He'd been operating power, and he thought, boy, this is really powerful. And had the resources to pay for it, but didn't realize, hey, you can't buy this stuff. It's just not available. He did not know. So Peter gives it to him very straight. This isn't available to you this way, and you really got to get your heart right before God. And so change your mind, you know, repent, and just, and then he showed him, hey, you know, you've got some deep stuff here in your life. And that's when he, in verse 24, just a wonderful response, then answered Simon and said, pray ye the Lord for me that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me. He didn't want the results of verse 23 of the gall, bitterness, and the bond, being in the bond of iniquity. He wanted out. Now, here's a guy living life, maybe not the way we've lived life. I don't know, but I wasn't going around doing these things to people, but I was a sinner. I was, you know, just had a sin nature, and I needed God. But this guy, Simon, now what does he do to live the Word? He's got a God, his now his Heavenly Father, that's willing to work with him where he is. So here's day one. He sees what Peter was doing. He says, I want that stuff. Peter, you know, shows him the truth. He gives him the light of God's Word concerning that situation of his own life. He's either going to run away from it and go back to those things which he was used to, or he's going to go towards that light and start living the will of God in his life. Now, that's why I said the other week, it's our choice. We're always the one choosing to do or not to do. So here he is. The first mover is always God. God, working with his heart at that point, lays something on his heart. Something. A truth. He's not going to lay the entire mystery and all that's going to happen in the next two administrations on his lap at that moment. All the understanding, all the wisdom of life, all of everything. He's not going to lay all that on his heart right then and say, hey, you know, you're supposed to be a servant of mine. You're going to give up your whole life. You're going to do that. He can't. The guy would fall over dead. What does he give him? He gives him what he can handle at that very moment to successfully carry out. We do that with children. We can't have an 18-year-old, we can't command or charge an 18-year-old something to do like you would maybe a 16-year-old. Right? I mean, an 18-month-old. An 18-month-old's doing things that aren't right. You can't just logically work out and show them all of life's meaning and get them to understand it. It's just not available. So as a person is born again, they start learning. God's at work within that person's life to will and to do of his good pleasure, which is just so amazing. A heavenly Father, a loving, compassionate Father, working with us. So he gives us the first step. Whatever that may be, we're at the crossroads, and God chose us as an individual, as his child, what to do. And if we latch on to that and we start trying it, if we stumble on it, he helps us. And he may say, you just get up, or you just don't allow yourself to get hurt. Whatever it is, he's a God of comfort. We may need comfort. We may need a kick in the ass. Who knows? I don't know. But he knows. We could do things that are wrong. But he doesn't. So he's at work within us to will and to do his good pleasure so we can live that divine nature. He didn't just drop us off at somebody's doorstep and say, I'll see you in heaven when Jesus Christ comes back. He's intimately involved. And that's wild. And so, however he shows us, whether it's by way of revelation, inspiration, another believer sharing a word, an angel, a miracle, I don't know. But he shows us and continues to work with us. As we go towards the light, he helps. As we run away from the light, he's still helping. It's just that we're not responding, which is, nobody wants that, to born again, in their right mind. But just look how wonderful God is in helping us to work within us. So what happened to Simon? It doesn't say. He could have grew like crazy and just stayed faithful to his word, God's word, the rest of his life, and helped. He may have helped all those people that he screwed up get restored in God's word. He may have been a wonderful servant to the believers of Samaria there. And, you know, they knew him one way, and he's growing with them. He may have, who knows, we don't know. It doesn't say what happened to most of the apostles in the book of Acts. It doesn't say a lot. Just because they're not mentioned again doesn't mean they went off in the sunset and screwed up. They just aren't mentioned. Doesn't mean they weren't standing. So it's just wonderful to see how God is willing, and he never gives up on our lives, no matter what we've done, no matter how many times we've rejected him on certain issues. He's still willing to work. That's called patience. And that's one of the things in the love of God, the characteristics of the love of God. You know, it suffers long. It is very patient. So it's just terrific. Look at how many times he had to get, you know, he worked with Jonah. First time he told him to go to Nineveh, he went the opposite direction. He was willing to die rather than obey. And then he gets spit out on the shores of Nineveh. God tells him to do it, and he's kind of grumbling. He doesn't want to do it, but he going that direction. But you know how God worked with Jonah. And so we're his children. It's just amazing. So it is God that is at work within us, the will and the do of his good pleasure. And what an incredible God we have. And if we just allow him to, as he puts light on our lives and just shows us, okay, here's something that you could improve on. Or here's a direction that you can go and it will bless you and bless others. Whatever it may be. To bless one another. Because we do want to bless one another, and we do. We have such a wonderful fellowship where we're just very interested in blessing one another and walking the word and helping to in prayer and just so many other things. So it's terrific. So we have a great God, and in doing God's will, it's just an exciting thing, and our Heavenly Father is intimately involved with our lives. I'm sure you've all experienced it where you go to make a decision and all of a sudden you get this thought, nope, I wouldn't do that. Or, yep, that's a good thing. You know, it's God working in us. So, it's just great stuff.